presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Hand off middle. First down. Touchdown! And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the Cougars' last game and look ahead to next week. Cougar Nation, brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Good evening, Cougar Nation. The Cougs are still reeling, but they're on the rise. They're on the climb. There's some momentum happening after a hard-fought loss against the Oklahoma Sooners this past weekend. We'll break it all down here over the next hour, and we'll take your phone calls here on Cougar Nation, 801-575-8255. A little bit different vibes this week, Matt. Even though it was a loss, there were some good feelings coming out of that
Much
game.
Different vibe. I feel like two things can be true. To take a page out of Broncos' book, especially during his time at Virginia, you remember the, we're trying to embrace.
That book?
Hold on.
We're taking a page out of that
hold
book?
Hold on.
We wanted to get into
Not on the field. I'm talking about when he was in Virginia. We're the program of and. We want to develop great academic players and great football players. I feel like that game was encouraging, and it was also a gut-wrenching loss at the same time. And let's break it down, Mitch, like we always do, with takeaways.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
Every week we do it here on Cougar Nation. We give you the takeaways from the last game. And takeaway number one, mistakes sunk BYU. Three costly turnovers hurt BYU's chances of pulling off the upset, most notably that pick six on the 2-yard line. Jake Retzlaff throws the pass to Oklahoma's DB Bauman, who's the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week this week. He returns at 100 yards, and instead of going up 24-17, BYU was down 24-17, and any chance of winning that game seemed like it went out the door right there.
They would have won the game if they punch it in there.
I think so.
I just feel like considering Oklahoma had a freshman quarterback, he would have been put into a situation they clearly did not want him to be in. They were so conservative with him. He would have actually had to play real football after that point. Could they have forced a turnover on a third and long? Like, the whole game would have unfolded differently if you don't make that mistake. And I like all the new information that's come out about that sequence since Saturday morning. It was an RPO, but it was the same exact play call as the previous play where Robbins went rumbling for 20 yards and Aaron Roderick assumed that Jake Retzlaff was just going to hand it off because that's what you do in that situation, and Jake made a costly mistake. And quite frankly, the focus is on the pick six, Mitch, but all three of Jake's mistakes were deadly. His first fumble was after a massive punt return, momentum shift. Next play, fumble. Just hand the ball off on the next play. The pick six, then later in the game, he's holding on to the ball too long. Every single turnover he made in that game was disastrous.
Here's Kalani on the play call on that pick six.
Play call is an RPO, which means run first, you know. I mean, we went fast. You don't throw the pass unless there's nobody covering him. I mean, I have to go look at him. I don't think the receiver even thought the ball was going to go to him. You know, this is one of those moments where you just got to hand the ball off. And I believe they had two guys out on coverage. And that's from our read is give the ball.
RPO ends up in an INT for BYU, and it was a costly one because, you know, I'm with you, man. I feel like BYU wins that game if they punch that in. It just had all the momentum. Lavelle Edwards Stadium was
buzzing.
Was rocking. Fans were ready. We're sensing an upset brewing. Oklahoma fans, the large contingent of them, they were getting worried. Oh, no, it's 2009 all over again. Our starting quarterback's out. This upstart BYU team that's a 3-touchdown underdog is going to do it to us again. But that pick six changed everything.
Here's what Aiden Robbins said on that sequence where he thought that maybe he would be giving BYU the lead.
a little bit, but, you know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, it happened and can't do anything to change that.
One thing you have to be proud of, though, Mitch, and this goes into the other takeaway, the response of the team on so many levels was, I think, admirable, and I think that's why a lot of Cougar fans walk away from this game kind of happy, even though you don't want to lose, especially in that fashion. But considering what had happened the three previous weeks, to have battled to the bitter end, these are the type of losses that if most of the losses had been like this, we'd have a very different feel about the season. Yeah. Even if the record was 5-6 going into this last game that we all know is going to be hard to win, but if the previous couple losses had came down to the wire and they didn't go your way, you'd be feeling a lot different. I love how the offense immediately goes down, ties the game at 24. So you do have to be proud at the way that this team fought.
I'm with you on that because, you know, this team, there was a lot of questions going into senior day as to whether or not they would just roll over and give up on the season. They didn't. And I'm confident that they're going to, you know, try to show up against Oklahoma State this week. But that battle, that fight that they showed against Oklahoma, I thought it was a moment that you can point to and say things are turning for this team and maybe program. And, you know, even Aiden Robbins spoke on Aaron Roderick and the support he has. And it just highlights the support these players have for the coaches despite the criticisms they face.
A-Rod, part of the reason I came here, no matter what people say about him, I always believe he does what he does at a high level, and he knows what he's doing. And, you know, I appreciate him for trusting me to go out and perform and trusting me because the ball is the program. And, you know, he let me have the ball in my hands, and I appreciate him for, you know, trusting me to do that.
When you get buy-in from players, I think it lends itself to good things. There were times last year where it felt like players were checked out. So credit the coaching staff for getting these guys to not give up on the season and still battle to the end.
Yeah, that was really nice on that front because you could tell that they were laying it on the line. They were competing. They were playing hard. So that was by far and away the best positive takeaway from the game. And it does give you hope for this week, for sure, that if you can run the football like that, if you can battle to the bitter end, that there's a chance you can get that sixth win. This Oklahoma State team, although they are in the driver's seat to get to the Big 12 championship game, I wouldn't say they've looked outstanding the past 2 weeks. They had to squeak by Houston. They were in a big hole. Yeah, they fought out of it, but still, they could find themselves in a big hole. And then on the road at UCF, they didn't even bother to show up. So it makes you feel a lot better about the upcoming game against the Cowboys down in Stillwater.
Takeaway number three, third down defense continues to be a downfall. Oklahoma on the day, and they're a high-powered offense. Top five coming into the game in scoring offense, 8 of 16 on third downs. BYU just can't get the necessary stops.
No, and I feel like because of Jake Retzlaff's turnovers, it's easy to brush this aside, but there were many instances where if you get a stop on third down, I feel like it has an impact on the game, none more so prevalent than the final third down completion where it's 3rd and 8. You know that they're going to throw the football. It's not a running down. Like, you get a first, you win the game. They can't force third down stops in situations where it's obvious what they're going to do. That's the most concerning part is, look, 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, very difficult to stop. I totally get that. 3rd and 8, you have to pass to win the football game, and they still complete a pass on you. Although, that I don't know if that was a completion upon second look, but still – third down defense during this losing streak's not been good enough, and look, the offense has made mistakes. I'm not I'm not trying to say that that's not a problem because it totally is, but the third down defense is just amplifying the offensive issues.
BYU just can't play a clean game at all this season, whether it's drop passes, interceptions, turnovers, lack of takeaways right now. They're just struggling to find a way to play a clean game. Cougar Nation is presented by Blue Barn Wealth, fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning, bluebarnwealth.com. We're taking a break. On the other side, we'll dish out some helmet stickers this week. Yeah, we're bringing them back. This was not a blowout performance like previous weeks. We're bringing back the helmet stickers. It's Cougar Nation, and it's powered by KSL Sports.
Cougar Nation.
A 75-yard touchdown run down the far sideline.
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation, we're taking your calls like we always do every Monday night, 801-575-8255. Two things for you we want to hear about. One, give us your takeaways from the Oklahoma game. Were you encouraged? Was it a gut-wrenching loss? Was it both? Let us know your thoughts in the game. And then also, and we'll discuss this later, who should be the starting quarterback against Oklahoma State if Keaton Slovis is healthy? Do you go back to Keaton? Do you roll with Jake? We'll discuss that a little bit more. 801-575-8255. Call in. We want to hear from you, Cougar Nation. That's why we have the show. The show is for you. Right now, though, look, it was a positive day, even though it was a loss. So because they weren't blown out. We're bringing back helmet stickers.
Cougar Nation, helmet stickers. Mitch and Matt dish out the stickers for BYU's best players this week.
That's right. Helmet stickers are back. If you don't lose by 30, we'll bring them back. My first helmet sticker will go to the offensive line. Look, they still had their struggles. The bar has been low for that group. But I like the fight, the battles that they showed in the trenches. Oklahoma doesn't have the personnel like Texas. They don't have a Jatavian Sweat. They don't have the manpower in the trenches like the Longhorns do, or even Iowa State, honestly. I was kind of uninspired at times by Oklahoma's talent, to be quite honest with you. But I liked what I saw from BYU's offensive line, that they're willing to battle still. I think the addition of Paul Miley, since he came back from an injury, has been huge for this group. And I think that, you know, I liked what they created in the ground attack. So BYU's offensive line, I liked what I saw from them. I thought that was an underrated aspect from the game that not many people were talking about because of the interceptions and the turnovers.
My first one goes to Jacob Robinson. I thought he showed very well. He was targeted 8 times, and he gave up 5 passing yards. He had 3 pass breakups. Like, Jacob Robinson, I know for myself, I haven't given him enough credit and publicity this year. He's been one of the best shutdown cornerbacks since, like, when? What? I'm trying to think of the last guy that BYU had that was this good for this long of a period of time. Like, he's forced turnovers. He's locking people down. He's not making critical mistakes. Like, who is the last cornerback that comes to your mind where you're like, this dude week in and week out was playing high-level football? Because the way he's played this year, like, I feel like that could translate to the league. Maybe not on the outside because he's a little small, but could he be a nickelback in the NFL? Like, he has played outstanding.
My first thought goes back to 2012, Preston Hadley. Yep. That group.
He's better than Preston, though.
Yeah, I agree. And Robertson Daniel was pretty good in 2014, yep. But that defense in that year was not very good. Troy Warner was good at BYU, had some moments in the NFL, but he was kind of bouncing around safety and corner, was never really healthy. So, yeah, I think maybe you have to go farther back to Gennaro, his position coach.
I think so.
To say best lockdown corner since, or maybe even Brian Gray, Tim McTyre, you know, guys like that. That's been 25-something years ago. So, yeah, Jacob Robinson's done an outstanding job. It's one of the reasons why Gennaro Guilford was named, you know, a Broyles Award nominee for the top assistant coach in college football because of the production that we're seeing from the cornerbacks, and Jacob Robinson has done a great job. My other helmet sticker goes into the secondary, Talon Alfrey. I thought he gave some nice production for BYU. He was actually the man on the tackle that Dylan Gabriel took a hard hit on the ground that caused him to be sidelined for the second half. I thought Talon Alfrey did an excellent job. He had 10 tackles on the game. And, you know, he's someone that I know this coaching staff is really high on. They love his athleticism. He's dealt with so many injuries in his BYU career, even in the Oklahoma game. In his second week back from an injury in fall camp, he's down on the field. You're thinking, oh, no, he's got another setback. But Alfrey did a really nice job. He spoke to the media after the game on Saturday, and just a well-spoken guy. And I thought that, you know, he's someone that's only a sophomore. Even though he's been around the program for a lot of years, he comes back next year, him, Micah Harper. That could be a nice safety tandem if they're ever healthy. And then Crew Wakely as well. BYU's building some numbers there at safety for 2024 and beyond.
What'd you make of Micah Harper being dressed? That was kind of a surprise, wasn't it?
That was a huge surprise because he had a devastating ACL injury in fall camp, and he went through those pregame warmups and had a knee brace on, but maybe it gives you hope that he could get go through a few practices in spring ball coming up in March.
Mine goes to Aiden Robbins, my last one, 22 for 182. He outrushed Oklahoma by himself, and unfortunately, it's the carry he should have had, number 23. That will probably be the play that is remembered most for this football game, but he was awesome. You know what I loved about this too? I loved that he was the guy. Like, 2 carries for Deion Smith, 1 for LJ Martin. When someone's rolling like that, feeding the ball, I thought that was a really encouraging sign from Aaron Roderick that he just identified, this is the guy, feeding the balls. Too often on both sides of the ball, Mitch, there's personnel, packages, there's substitutions, analytics, third and seven, go at this guy. How about we just play our best players as much as possible? And they did it with Aiden Robbins, and it's a shame that Jake Retzlaff didn't hand him the ball at the two-yard line because that would have been a TD. Ah,
it is a shame.
Frustrating me, but Aiden Robbins gets my final helmet sticker.
It just shows, too, what he did on Saturday. We were not blowing smoke to you Cougar fans when we were saying, this guy's really good in fall camp. He was great.
Yep.
And you wonder, too, with him, he got honored at senior day. You kind of wonder what his thought process is going to be about next year, whether BYU goes to a bowl or not. I hope that he runs it back and comes back one more year because he's finally finding his groove, his place within this BYU offense. Because you think back to January, he had the wrist surgery, and then in fall camp, he suffers the rib injury. He was never healthy until about, you know, this month, really. And now he's finally the player that BYU expected when they signed him out of the transfer portal last winter. So I hope he comes back. I hope that his success is not making LJ Martin, the heralded freshman, say, oh, am I falling out of favor? Like, no, there's a place for both of you in this backfield.
Yeah.
I hope that they can be a really powerful 1-2 tandem for BYU next year, because I think, again, we've said it all along this show every single week, there's talent at running back. It's not like BYU doesn't have the players. Maybe you could say Tyler Algier's presence on the sideline on Saturday gave a lift to Aiden Robbins, where he's like, I got to impress this guy and show him how it's done, because I can't roll out with 20 yards on 20 carries in front of Tyler Algier, one of the greatest to ever do it. So I thought Robbins was impressive on Saturday for sure.
There you go. Cougars, Cougar helmet stickers brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Let's get out to the phone line, our first call, and we want more, for the record. 801-575-8255. Takeaways on the game. You can give us your thoughts on the quarterback situation, or Brandon from Orem wants to chime in on possible coaching changes. What are you thinking, Brandon?
Yeah, kind of along the lines of what Kalani was asked today in his press conference, you know, asked about any coaching changes that he's planning on making. Just wanted to ask you guys' thoughts on what you guys think. And to answer the question of the day, I do for sure think, you know, the season would definitely be a disappointment if we didn't get to bowl eligibility. And so along those lines, assuming that didn't happen, you know, what changes do you guys think would need to be made and will be made? So thanks
for the call, Brandon. I think that you start on the offensive side if you're going to make changes. I think the defensive side is given a pass. I think that Kalani kind of said that after the Iowa State game when he said he felt like players weren't bought into the system. I kind of interpreted that as, hey, give Jay Hill some time to get his personnel. Not a knock on the upperclassmen. I don't think all upperclassmen fall under not buying into the scheme, but let's call it what it is. There hasn't, you know, the personnel at the top, the upperclassmen, defensive side, they haven't had much success defensively, whereas Jay Hill, excellent recruiter, he's going to get the personnel in to have success. Some of the best players on this defense this year are guys that Jay Hill and this staff brought in: Vong Fachon, Eddie Heckard, Camden Garrett. I think Jay Hill will bring in the necessary personnel, so I don't make changes to the defensive side. Offensive side, where I was focused, probably the offensive line coach, Daryl Funk.
Yeah, that's the obvious one, and that's probably the one you make, but I wouldn't go any further than that. I know there's chatter amongst fans, Aaron Roderick or Steve Clark, the tight ends haven't been producing.
Wide receivers have underwhelmed too.
Yeah, I would just say this group has done really well, and maybe the lesson learned from this year is you can't wholesale fire sale your roster. Maybe you need to invest in the young group, develop, try and retain. You mentioned Robbins. Retain as many guys as you can. Have some continuity, and let's see what happens next year before we get drastic, because change doesn't always mean success. Sometimes I think you got to have a little patience.
Trending up, trending down next here on Cougar Nation, and it's powered by KSL Sports News, Traffic, and Weather on the other side.
Cougar Nation.
Touchdown, Cougars take the lead.
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in, Cougar Nation. Load up those phone lines, 801-575-8255. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, every single week here on Cougar Nation, 6 to 7, recapping the week that was in BYU football. Hopefully we have some more BYU football weeks to discuss. Hopefully there's another a bowl game coming up for BYU in their future. They do have a game this Saturday, 1:30 kick against Oklahoma State. We'll get the extended pregame coverage started at 10 a.m. from Stillwater as the Cougars take on the Pokes for the first time since 1976.
Wow.
In the Tangerine Bowl.
Wow.
These two teams have never played in the regular season, so it's been a minute between BYU and Oklahoma State, and now we dive into what's trending up and trending down in BYU football.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this football season?
I'll start things off. Mitch, trending up for me. There's a lot of different ways that you could go with this because I thought there were some positive trends, but I'm going to go with Cody Epps. I think that Cody Epps has been trending up the past couple weeks. I thought that he made some plays. He looked the closest to the Cody Epps that we saw last year. And I think one of the takeaways from that game offensively for me on the positive side was when you have a nice, shifty slot receiver like they had Epps a little bit in that game, it changes the offense a little bit. I liked what I saw from Cody Epps. That drop at the beginning of the game was not great because that would have kept a drive going.
Five,
but
yeah.
He had some plays in there that reminded me of what Cody Epps could be. He's still a guy where this year has not went his way. It started with the poor decision to go into the portal at the witching hour, and then he had an injury, and it just has not gone his way. I'd still like to see him come back and see if you can recapture what he did a year ago, because when he's at his best, he's a really good slot receiver that can make plays, and I thought we saw the best glimpse of what he was last year in this game.
He's been banged up so much. I mean, the hamstring, and even in the Oklahoma game, he went down on the sideline. Trainers were looking at him, and like, you almost hold your breath every time when Cody Epps, you know, goes down on the turf because it feels like he's had so many injuries in his BYU career. I am interested to see what he does next year because this is his fourth season in the program. You know, I don't know how close he is to getting his undergrad. You wonder, does he kick the tires again and go all in on the transfer portal, or does he run it back? You know, that's just the nature of college football. We truly, if you try to forecast who's coming back, who's not, at this juncture, you can get a sense of some guys. But other players like him who could have a market, and we know how to market, it'll be interesting to see what he does this offseason. My trending up is Aaron Roderick. I got to give him some credit. I think that, you know, he did a nice job with the play calling in that game. I know that RPO call on first and goal from the two is controversial. And
you can't put that on him. Have more information on
it. I'm putting that on Retzlaff. Yeah. I am. I feel like Aaron Roderick called a pretty nice game. Yeah. And I feel like it reminded me of BYU offenses of the past, of with Zach Wilson and Jaren Hall. Like, oh, yeah, BYU can score. BYU has the ability to keep defenses on their heels. That was the first game this season, this whole season, that I felt like I was watching a good brand of football on the offense side from BYU. They've won five games this year, and in none of those games did I feel like the offense was spectacular.
No.
I don't think this game was spectacular offensively for BYU, clearly. But I enjoyed kind of the pace, the feel, the rhythm of the offense where there was hope. There was no hope. I mean, last week we were asking on the show, what gives you hope, Cougar Nation? Aaron Roderick gave me some hope after what I saw on Saturday.
Trending down for me, and it's been trending down for a good long time, basically since the Arkansas game, is the defensive line. It's just there's not enough healthy bodies. And who would have thought a guy like John Nelson, and this is no disrespect to John Nelson because I think he's a nice player. You want to hold on to John Nelson because I think there's something there. But he goes down, and this unit is incapable of creating pressure. It's just unbelievable how much they've slid since the Arkansas game because it felt like down in Fayetteville, you and I were there. A lot of BYU fans were there too. It felt like, hey, here we go. This is what we're talking about here. We're getting some sacks. Some strip sacks are bringing pressure. Oklahoma, they could not make that freshman quarterback uncomfortable to save his life. And that was frustrating because that's the type of situation where if you had a halfway decent defensive line, do you create a turnover that changes the game and maybe wins you the game? At no point did you feel like this defensive line was going to do anything to make him uncomfortable.
My trending down, BYU's confidence to win games. They forgot, Matt. I don't think they remember the feeling of winning games. You had to go back to the Texas Tech game.
And that wasn't a good feeling.
It wasn't. It was a struggle in that second half. This team has forgot. That was clearly on display with those mistakes in the red zone, the fumble, just not being able to get a stop on third down. They have forgotten how to win games. And it's going to take a massive effort for BYU to get it done this Saturday against Oklahoma State. We got to get out to the phone line, 801-575-8255. Every single week here on Cougar Nation, we're taking your phone calls. Michael from Arizona, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I've noticed that whenever BYU's played afternoon games versus evening games, traditionally, and it's not always the case, but traditionally they've been able to come away with the win. And I'm just wondering if there was any sort of pre-discussed notion that to do more afternoon games versus evening games, because they seem, at least when I still attended the games in the evening, they always seem to be able to come away with the win in the evening versus the afternoon. I don't know if it's just all the crazy traveling and time difference, but it's just my observation.
Two letters, Michael, dictate how that works, and those letters are T and the other letter is V. They dictate how the games go. I mean, this Oklahoma State game had a six-day window where a week ago at this time, we didn't even know when the game was going to be. So that got set very late Saturday night as a primetime game. TV's gotten in the way. And the nighttime-daytime thing to me, we can put that to bed. That was a nice little story the first half of the year. But they stunk at West Virginia.
Stunk against Iowa State.
Yeah, so that's over with. The night game is, and look, the best game they probably played all year, this last game, was a morning game they haven't done in nearly 20 years.
Did you like that, the 10 a.m. kick?
I absolutely loved the 10 a.m.
kick. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I'm showing up to the stadium at around 8 o'clock, and I'm like, I kind of like this. This is got some Costa Vida breakfast burrito here. Like, I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying myself here.
I would love it if, and they have no control over this, they have very little control over the schedule, but I would love it if they would throw in every single year a 10 a.m. game, a home
especially
game.
In November.
Especially in late October, early November. The weather was not bad at all. Besides the wind and the rain in the first quarter, that was not fun for those being there. Credit to you for withstanding that. But I quite enjoyed it, and this BYU team played well. One thing that I think we should bring up as well, Mitch, is there was this notion like, oh, we're asking them to wake up early. Can they do it? Can they get out of the routine? They were already getting up early anyways. A lot of them were lifting early. You have early meetings. You get to the training center to rehab. So I think that was a little overblown. Like, oh, they play late all the time. Can they wake up? Like, I think it was fine, and I enjoyed it.
I did too. I thought it was a lot of fun having a morning game for once. Cougar Nation brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth, fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning, bluebarnwealth.com. Taking more of your calls next, 801-575-8255. Will this BYU football season be a disappointment if they don't make it to a bowl? We'll talk about that next and preview Oklahoma State right here on Cougar Nation.
Cougar Nation.
The Cougars picked it up! And in overtime, they won it!
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in to Cougar Nation. It's sponsored by, brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Every single week here, 6 to 7. Be back next week recapping this Oklahoma State game, and hopefully it's a win, man, and hopefully it's for that sixth win to get to bowl eligibility and get to the postseason. And when, Cougar Nation, it's always for you Cougar fans to share your opinions on Cougar football. Let's get onto the phone line and welcome in another caller, Peggy from Spanish Fork. What's on your mind, Peggy?
Well, I am a true blue Cougar fan.
I love it.
Win or lose, I'm on their side. And I absolutely love the morning game.
Yes. I love it too, Peggy.
The sun's shining, even if it rains a bit. And besides that, I can't stand the 8:15 game. I'm going home 2 hours past my bedtime.
That's my bedtime too at 8:15, Peggy. I'm not going to lie. Those late games will wear you down.
Peggy,
I love the morning game.
I thought they were great. They got an afternoon game this week, 1:30 against Oklahoma State. Are they going to get it done and get the win?
Well, if they have the enthusiasm and drive that they had at the Oklahoma State game or Oklahoma University game? Absolutely.
I love it. Peggy, we appreciate the call, and thanks for always being a proud member of Cougar Nation. Appreciate it. That's Peggy from Spanish Fork. You can call in and join us, 801-575-8255.
I want someone to chime in and tell me who should start a quarterback. That's great that we've been reacting to the Oklahoma game, but I'm ready to have the discussion. Retzlaff versus Slovis.
Retzlaff?
I'm only partially there.
Wouldn't you go? What would be the case to go with Slovis in the final game then?
To send a message that you have to be accountable for your boneheaded turnovers? Like, he's had four absolute bone crushing, mind boggling, like that fan on the replay. I don't know if you saw it, who was saying a bunch of choice words.
Yes, you did.
That's exactly how I felt. If you have another one of those where on the first drive there's some easy situation, and look, I'm actually pro start Retzlaff, and I'm not normally the short leash guy, but this is a short leash situation to me. You cannot go into next year with him being QB1 if he continues to turn the ball over like this.
Well, even if I think regardless what happens Saturday, I think they're still going to add a portal quarterback, but don't you want to give him more game experience and more snaps to kind of go through the fires of the Big 12 and learn?
No, because he's had plenty. He's had, what, three games worth now?
Man, that's not that much.
25% of the season. He's gotten a lot of snaps. We have a really good sense of what Jake Retzlaff is right now, which is when he's not turning the ball over, he can win you some football games. And he hasn't yet, but I believe that there's enough pizzazz and enough flash there. There's a lot to like, and he did some nice things against Oklahoma. But those turnovers, and look, this isn't my opinion. Kalani has said this, and Aaron Roderick said this. What is the freaking most important thing about running the offense and the identity of that offense? Taking care of the football. Kalani says, the football is not yours, it's the program's, which I don't fully understand that, but
I agree with it. It's the fans. It's Cougar Nation's.
So to stop,
you're protecting Cougar Nation's happiness with that ball.
Exactly, and he hasn't been doing so. So I'm not out on Retzlaff by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying, in this particular game, it's not going to be, we're just going to let you ride and whatever happens. No, we're coming to win this game, and if you can't take care of the football, next guy in.
Here's Slovis. Here's Kalani on if Retzlaff could lose his starting job because of the turnovers.
Yeah, that's what I care about. I've seen too many times where quarterbacks have been careless with the football. And not just quarterbacks, but other players. If you don't show that you can take care of the football, then it's a big part of us playing. We've had some players that have shown bad ball security, and they just don't get on the field again until I see it.
We'll see what happens
on
Saturday.
You're fine with another two-pick or one-pick, one fumble, one costly, deadly fumble. You're just going to roll in the whole game?
Because the ground game was actually effective. Look, I saw BYU with Slovis against Sam Houston, and they were putrid, Matt.
They didn't have Robbins.
They were terrible against every team they
played. They didn't have Robbins.
Hey, Sam, Aiden Robbins played against Sam Houston.
They're going to put Corning Stone on.
BYU has been horrific running the football with Keenan Slovis. Even Aiden Robbins said in the postgame on Saturday, Jake opened up the ground game. That right there, I think, wins the day for Jake Retzlaff to start, because you have to have an effective ground attack.
If he takes care of the football.
At this point, I've seen terrible play the whole year. I'm not worked up over one disastrous turnover, because guess what? BYU was in the fight.
One. If it was only one disastrous turnover, Mitch, we wouldn't be having this conversation. It was four.
I'm more worked up. I'm more worked up over getting smoked by TCU, 44-11. I'm more worked up about getting smoked by Texas. I'm more worked up about getting smoked by West Virginia than a seven-point loss to Oklahoma. Yes, it's heartbreaking, but at the end of the day, this BYU team's flawed. So I've moved on from that game and really just go, I'm just happy that they fought, they battled, because really, they didn't belong in that game with Oklahoma, because Oklahoma's got more talent. I don't think they're that great as Texas, but they got far more resources and talent, and the fact that BYU competed gave me some happiness. I'm more disappointed with just the dud performances, and Retzlaff didn't have a dud, and I think you ride the hot hand to see what he can do, and I think that he opened up the ground attack for Robbins, and defenses had to honor that RPO from Retzlaff and the ground game.
Jacob from Eagle Mountain, what do you think about this hot quarterback discussion?
Yeah, man, it's heating up here in the radio station, it sounds like. But, I was at the game on Saturday, and one of the most frustrating things to me was that I saw Keaton Slovis there, padded up, ready to go the entire time. And even when things were starting to get really close and ugly, and even after three turnovers, right, we didn't see any kind of, I think there was reason to say, hey, we have a chance at winning this thing. I know Keaton's banged up a little bit, but what the heck? Let's put him in and see if we can make some passes, get this done. I think, if anything, this game against Oklahoma, I really hope that is given the offense a little bit of hope or a little bit of confidence in themselves to say, hey, we can play football. We can do this. We can play at the Power 5 level. But now we just got to get someone that can play Power 5 level football at quarterback. And I think Jake Retzlaff just isn't ready yet. I mean, this is Big 12 football. You turn over four times in a single game and in essence lose the game for the team. It's just not going to cut it. I think we got to put Keaton in and make sure that we get this next win so we can get a bowl game.
It's a hard decision to be had by this coordinator, because if Jake doesn't turn the ball over, I think to your point, yeah, you roll with him, because the running game has opened, even though his rushing numbers weren't great against Oklahoma. I think his impact was maybe a little exaggerated there in the run game against the Sooners, but he has certainly opened it up. It's just the turnovers. And look, Slovis had turnovers too. I think, again, I still roll with Retzlaff. I'm just not going to roll with him regardless of what happens on the field.
Yeah, I just think also too, I'm almost taking a long-term approach with it, and that might be the wrong move, because when you think about seniors, they want to desperately get a sixth win and they want to do it at all costs. But I'm just thinking from a long-term perspective, whether BYU wins or not on Saturday, this program's got some real issues. And if you win with Keaton Slovis on Saturday, that's a great story. That's a feel-good moment. You're going to get 15 extra practices. But 15 extra practices of Slovis at QB1, what does that do for you long-term in 2024? Because ultimately, you can move on from the struggles. I think 5-7 this year, if you do end up with that record, and it's very likely you do, because Oklahoma State's a really good football team, and they've got the Big 12 championship game in their sights. I think that if you're 6-6, you got to fix a lot with this BYU team, win or lose. And I just feel like I would like to see Retzlaff get more opportunities. I don't feel like it's a resounding, he's QB1 next year. Don't feel that way at all. But I like that he's getting some chances to get more snaps, get more playing time, because win or lose with Slovis, he's done in a game. Like, I want to see signs of 2024 showing out this weekend.
I would just add, I don't think if Slovis starts or comes in relief and wins, I don't think that means you have to then play him in the bowl game. I think you could still go with Slovis this week and then give it to Retzlaff for the bowl game. But it's an interesting dilemma.
Just get the win, right? Just get that. Let's see him get to a win and get that sixth win and go to a bowl game and get it done. Cougar Nation brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. We'll be back on Saturday, Matt, 10 a.m. BYU and Oklahoma State extended pregame from Stillwater. Big thanks to our producer, Nate Slack. We will be back next week here on Cougar Nation.